Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, big night in Philadelphia sports. Sixers back at it. Seventh time making the playoffs with Joel Embiid. Good morning, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. How are you doing? All right, Elliot, let's start Sixers, then we'll go Eagles. So we had a poll result yesterday. 82% of people say they'd rather have Joel than Jimmy tonight. Did people get that right, or did they get that wrong?
They got it right, but I think the fact that it was, what, 12% or something like that said Jimmy?
22.
22%.
Or, no, 18. 18% said Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, well, whatever it is. I mean, the fact that
good
it's that high speaks to why Joel really, really, really needs to show up and win tonight. Because Joel Embiid is 10 times the player that Jimmy Butler is right now. But because of what's happened in the postseason, a large percentage of people, a non-small percentage of people, trust Jimmy in a big spot more than Joel. And that's because of the playoff history of both of them. So obviously having Joel is the better player. That's who they should vote for. And that's the correct outcome. But tonight is about proving why that should be 100% and not 88%, whatever it was.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, look, the reality is Jimmy has done so much more in the postseason than Joel has. I mean, he just has. And as a guard/small forward type, he gets to control the tempo of the game in a way centers don't. And, you know, Jimmy's imprint on playoff basketball, I mean, when he goes full tilt, man, he's incredible.
Yeah, I mean,
and Joel's never done it. He's never done it yet.
Their reputations are their reputations for a reason. And I think, like with any narrative, it can be slightly over the top, but it's based in truth. And, you know, as much as I've defended the Sixers, and I think that their playoff achievements are somewhat diminished because we're just used to them always making it to the second round. The reality is, nationally, I think most people would say Jimmy is clutch and Joel is not. So tonight is about proving that wrong.
Do you think this season's going to be different this postseason, Elliot? I mean, what do you project? It could be the next 2 days. It could be the next 2 months. What do you see for the 76ers this spring and hopefully summer?
Yeah, so I've been so burned by this team and believing them the past few years, it's really hard for me to go all in just because I did think last year they had a great chance and they came close. And there's been years when they've been the better team. So there is a reality that it might not matter they're the better team. They could lose tonight despite being the better team. But I think whenever making a prediction, you have to just look at the facts. And the facts are they are the better team. And I'll take my chances on consistently betting on the better team. So I think they're better than the Heat. I think when you look at the Eastern Conference, the only team I think that's better than them is Boston. The Knicks are very good, and that is a tough matchup. But ultimately, the Sixers, with Joel, have an argument for being the best team in the league. So I think that this is going to get out of the second round just because they're better, I think, than they have been in past years. But I completely understand people that are skeptical.
Let's talk a little bit about that press conference yesterday, Elliot. What is the hang-up with the Hassan Reddick thing? It seemed, again, like a sore spot. What's going on?
Yeah, I was surprised that, you know, Howie kind of had that reaction to the follow-up question. Howie is normally so good in these press conferences at not showing emotion and not kind of letting things get under his skin. I think that with the Hassan trade, I would imagine that Howie knows it's a trade that's been criticized heavily. People have really questioned why he did it. And, you know, I think that's why he got annoyed by it. But I understand why people are skeptical of it. Hassan Reddick is a great player that they traded away. Now, a year from now, could we look at this and say, wow, they got Bryce Huff, who ended up being just as good of a pass rusher as Hassan, and a second-round pick? Yeah, that's certainly possible. But I think Howie, in his reaction to that, I mean, he should understand why people are skeptical of the trade he made.
There was a thoughtfulness to that Cam Jurgens answer yesterday, you know, talking about the interconnectedness. And it really reminds us as fans, the Eagles take a different approach from other teams in the league. This is a different approach than what I was accustomed to as a player. Are other teams around the NFL striving for this same level of interconnectedness? Like, is this a new thing everywhere, or is this just a Howie special here in Philadelphia that's paying dividends?
You mean in terms of Cam learning from people around him?
Yeah, not just learning from stories, but learning from the actual legend himself. That really is taking it a step further.
Or is it just circumstantial and it's a convenient thing to say in a press conference? You know, that you happen to draft Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter because Fletcher Cox was getting older, and it's just, you know, one or two guys replaces another one or two guys.
So I think it's probably a bit of both. I do know they genuinely believe in the fact that having these veteran players bring along younger players matters. I mean, look at Brandon Graham still being on the roster. I mean, Brandon's still a good player, but ultimately I think his value to the team this year is as a leader and as someone to mentor younger players. So they are kind of putting their money where their mouth is with that. But in terms of the Cam thing and Jordan Davis and all that, my biggest takeaway yesterday was that they seem very ready and willing to draft someone that won't be a starter this year. And I understand that if Lane goes down or Jordan goes down, or if you look at corner and, you know, Darius Slay goes down, that player becomes more valuable. So I don't think it's completely a logical pick. I just can't get behind the idea that learning for a year or even two full years as a rookie, as a first-round pick, is a good use of that resource. So ultimately in 3 years or 2 years, if that player is better for having learned from Lane or Darius Slay, then yes, I get it. But it's such a tough use of a resource to have someone sit for a full year as a first-round pick.
So you had a chance to be there in a – whatever, face-to-face type capacity with Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. Does it feel different this year now that we know that Nick's role has changed? When you sat there and you interacted, how is Nick interacting, if it's any different from previous seasons?
So I've been around him a few times this offseason now, and I don't sense any difference. I understand that, you know, on the outside, it's viewed as, you know, Nick had power stripped away and he's a puppet and they don't believe in him. That's just never been the sense I've gotten, even at the end of the year and especially since then. So, you know, being at the press conference yesterday, Nick didn't talk a ton, but I think that that's mostly because it's more of a Howie Roseman press conference. I think that even if, you know, Nick was coming off winning the Super Bowl and I think it would have been the same type of dynamic. So no, I don't pick up or sense any difference in how Nick is acting or how they're treating Nick, you know, since the season ended.
You know, Elliot, Howie really leans into this jokey thing more and more these days.
Yep.
I mean, it's, I got to say, as someone who's an Eagles fan and, you know, it's kind of irritating in my opinion. There are times and there are places, and I feel like it's quite a lot lately.
Yeah.
There's no question in there. It's just your turn to talk because it's like, come on, guys. Enough of the jokey.
Well, so we really want to analyze into it, right? Just take that leap. I do think part of it is there's this perception about Howie that he doesn't – this started a few years ago – that he doesn't get along with people in the building and that there's always an issue with the head coach.
Yep.
And there's been a lot of reporting about, you know, the dynamic. So when him and Nick are up there – I don't think it's forced because Nick genuinely is someone that very much gets along with everybody. But I think it benefits Howie to be up there and to show that he does get along with people and that they have a good relationship and that they joke around. So I agree with you that there are definitely times where, you know, you can tell he's almost not listening to a question. He just has a joke ready to go. But I do think that because of how Howie's perceived, it's probably good for some people to see him in that light.
You know, Elliot, another thing, and I agree with your answer there entirely, something that it stood out to me recently and it was reaffirmed yesterday. And I don't know if there's anyone else that has thought this. And, Elliot, I'm curious if you have. So a couple times Howie has spoken in recent years about retaining some of these veteran players. Kelsey, who obviously got to the end of his career here in Philly. Fletcher Cox got to the end of his career here. Now Brandon Graham and Lane Johnson are the next litmus test. But, you know, Brandon Graham being the bigger one because he's older and not as good right now as Lane. I have a theory, Elliot, that Lurie and Howie, because of the Brian Dawkins thing in March of 2009, never want something like that to happen again. And I'm just curious if you have connected those dots, because when I listen, and I listen very carefully to what Howie says, I hear a guy who reports to a guy who's afraid to ever have one of those things happen again where an all-time Eagle who's been here his whole career leaves near the end. Have you thought of that?
So I think there's definitely some truth to it. I do think that it matters to the Eagles to have these guys play their career out. Now, in terms of how much maybe they feel for that, that comes from the Dawkins thing, it is an interesting observation. And there is, I could see that connection. Now, I do think that with the players you're talking about, it's helpful that Kelce has been a great player.
That's right.
All the time. Yep. You know, Fletcher had that one down year, but he was, you know, arguably their best defensive lineman if you take into account overall play and not just the pass rush. And then Lane is still a very good player. So Brandon would probably be a little more of the example of holding on to a guy. But, you know, I just don't know if that's a bad thing. Like, as much as you want to make every decision about the roster strictly off of football, the reality is they are a business. And there are millions of people that care about this team and these players. So, you know, if having Brandon Graham play one more year instead of going to play for, you know, the same to the Broncos or whatever for a year means a roster spot, I think it makes sense, because the Dawkins thing is something that so clearly hurt fans and was a bad decision. I think it's okay to sometimes use, you know, emotion when making decisions at the final few years of a player's career.
All right, Elliot, final thing here. So, huge story out, and you know about this. A lot of people listening right now may not. New story out this morning, ESPN.com, about Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Entitled Voted Off the Island, Inside Bill Belichick's Failed Job Hunt. Tons of information. I have not read it all yet, but there is a section in here that talks about Belichick and the Eagles. I know you've consumed this. We'll present it in greater detail to our audience after this interview, but let me just say this, Elliot. Fascinating reporting by ESPN indicating that the Eagles were legitimately considering hiring Belichick, and that perhaps the main reason why they did not was the belief that if Belichick was only going to coach for two more years, and that's an if he was only going to coach for two more years to break Shula's record, it just wouldn't be worth upsetting the whole apple cart to go from Sirianni to Belichick to pivot to someone else in 2026 or whatever year it would be, and that was the reason not going there. What do you make of it?
Yeah, that, you know, to me, it read a lot like how when there's a free agent, the Eagles do all their homework on that free agent and are always involved till the end, even if maybe their overall interest level isn't as strong as it perceives. The Eagles are a team that do a ton of research on guys. So when I read that article, it sounded to me like they did their homework on Bill Belichick. And obviously, they did that because they were considering moving on from Sirianni. You know, I don't think they would have done any research on Belichick if Sirianni was coming off the Super Bowl in 2022. So they did research for a reason. But what was telling to me was once doing that research, and in there it says, you know, how he called Belichick, it emphasized in there that they didn't talk about the job, but I think it's noteworthy they talked on the phone. Lurie spoke to people about Belichick. What I just think is interesting is it seems the report they got back about him was not a positive one. They, you know, it wasn't, you know, this is a guy you have to hire. He's still such a great coach. He's awesome to work with. And this is why I always thought hiring Belichick would be a mistake, for all the reasons laid out in that article. I think he only cares about the 15 wins. I don't think he's easy to get along with anymore. And I don't think his players like playing for him. So the article is certainly interesting. And it sounds like Belichick really wanted the job, but I'm not surprised after doing their homework, the Eagles passed on him.
You know, the addendum to it just offhand is what it says about Sirianni, that he probably did almost get fired. He's halfway on the plank before this season starts.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully agree with that assessment, but I mean, like I said, they wouldn't have done this coming off of 2022. That's, you know, the best way I think you can put it. I do think that you do research on Belichick because he's Belichick, but, you know, there hasn't been a ton coming out about them calling like every other head coach that's available. I think Belichick is just such an interesting case. It does make sense to look into it.
Elliot, nice work, buddy.
Because of Sirianni's job status, yeah. Yep, talk to you later.
All right, thanks, man. There he is, Elliot. It's right off the face. All right, talk to you later. All right, all good. All right, we got a lot up ahead here, including more on this story. We'll give you the specifics that are reported in this story, plus John Tortorella after the game last night, what he said about the Flyer season, and the Jimmy Butler thing. We've always wondered, like, we still wonder, why is Hassan Reddick not an Eagle? What exactly happened between Jimmy Butler and the Sixer? Why is he a Heat tonight instead of a Sixer?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Some reporting through the years about what went down between Jimmy Butler and the Sixers all those years ago.
I don't think you can say that. Why is he a Heat? I don't think that's appropriate.
It's out there.
I think you need to add a Heat member.
On the
or
Heat.
Why is he on the Heat? Yeah, I don't think you can say why is he a Heat?
A Heat player. More coming up on 94 WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action. At Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player. Open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants.
Well, tonight, the NBA playoffs back in Philly. Sixers, Heat. Winner plays the Knicks. Loser will play the winner of the I don't even know who is the 9-10 matchup in the East.
Bulls and Hawks.
The Bulls and the Hawks?
Hawks, yes. Yep. Hawks were like 10 games under 500.
What a dog meat game. Holy mackerel. Anyway. We'll see what the Sixers got tonight, and really more than anything, we'll see what Joel's got. You know, because obviously he's got the skill, and as I indicated earlier, he's got to have the will. And we'll see if he's fully conditioned. We'll also see if there's any lingering effects of that knee buckle he had a few games ago that it seems like was the thing that led to him sitting out the last game. So, you know, hopefully you get a full tilt, Joel, but you never know. You never know what what you're going to get. We'll find out tonight. 215-592-9494. We'll talk to Ryan Russillo coming up in about an hour, one of the really great national NBA people, and John's buddy, Ryan Russillo. Russillo on the Sixers, and we'll get the national perspective of how the Sixers are perceived and how Joel's perceived. We'll get to all that coming up at 9:30 today. Let's get to Nick Nurse right now. He spoke, this was a couple days ago, after it was known that it would be the Sixers and the Heat. On Wednesday night here in Philadelphia, Nick Nurse was asked, what's your message to your squad?
My message is this, is like we understand this is a really good team. We understand that when we go out there, we got to play, and we got to play our asses off, right? That's it, man. Go out there, play your asses off, let the chips fall where they may.
I like it. I mean, I mean, just simple message, play your asses off. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can put it. Try your heart.
Take them lightly.
But you play your asses off, then... Look, if you lose because you're just not good enough, then we'll blame decisions as it relates to roster construction over a number of years. But don't have this be like has been the case in recent years, where you didn't show up at times. I mean, Joel and James Harden didn't show up for Game 7 last year. They didn't. The Eagles in the playoff game didn't show up. Eagles had a playoff game in Tampa Bay. They didn't show up. So, you know, number one is show up. And then, obviously, hopefully Joel can lend his skill with full effort and give you 42 minutes.
Can you imagine? Of course they'll show up.
John, they didn't in game seven against the Celtics, man. It was a game seven in the second round, and they did not show up.
Yeah, it's a play-in game.
That was a game seven. John, that was a game seven.
And at that point,
he didn't show up.
At that point, his body was spent. And I'm not defending that enough. No, you enough. Right now, you think Joel Embiid's not going to show up for the first game of a play-in?
I think it's possible.
It's unbelievable how much energy and excitement he's got to prove everyone wrong. He wants to go out there and shut everyone up.
What happened last year?
He feels good now. he finally feels good, and you can see that in the way that he's playing.
Well, that's if
I'm telling
that's
you, if he's going to explode.
He's left the court twice in two games. He's been back. He's had to go to the locker room to check on a knee.
Because they told him, hey, if you feel anything,
man.
Get off
John,
the court.
John, he didn't play in the last game.
I know, because they're being cautious.
But whatever, the point,
but
like, because you can't just assume.
But Devin, because something wasn't right.
You can't
right.
assume. Stop assuming the worst.
I'm not assuming the worst.
We're going off history. We're going off history. You're going off nothing.
Everything's different.
Everybody right now is mad at everybody in the studio.
I get what Joe's saying here, and James. Like, I don't think it's great that he already had to leave. I was a little bit, you know, confused when Joel Embiid left due to the same non-contact injury that we thought he was preventing by getting surgery and missing, like, most of the back half of the season. But I have to side with John here. It's a different team. It's a new year. They just seem way more locked in this year. Joel Embiid is fresher. You guys got to – you're attacking
Kyle Lowry
John.
Is a leader. He's been there before.
John has
yeah,
to stand
exactly.
on his business. Well,
we're just saying you
gosh.
Can't expect it. Is all, it might.
Correct.
He might be good,
goes
but the point is you
way.
Can't say it's absolutely going to happen. That's all we're saying. That's
I can
all,
say
and we're
it's
correct
absolutely
going to
happen that he will show up.
No, you can't.
Hell,
that's
well,
the point.
Well,
look, that's
he
the point.
Well, he can
of
say it.
Of course he will.
Yeah, it might be wrong.
But John will look foolish if Joel lets the whole city of Philadelphia down again. I mean,
well,
just,
and you guys will look foolish if
no,
no, because we believe no. it could happen. We're just not guaranteeing it.
Correct. I stand
so
by
you're
that.
You're setting low expectations.
Guaranteed.
Medium expectations. Medium expectations.
Okay.
Medium expectations.
Sounds like James has very low expectations.
No, I'm just saying, like, look, Embiid will be the best player on the court tonight, but he has yet to show up in these type of
well,
games.
James,
like,
he might not.
He might not. My point is talent. He's the most talented player on the court tonight. But that, again, look at the playoff averages. Like, again, I could absolutely see him being great tonight. I'm just saying I can't go in saying I guarantee he's going
to
be great.
All right. Now, one more thing here before we get right back to the calls. I got to hear from John Tortorella because after the game, he was asked a great question. I don't know that his answer will put people in a better mood. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Tortorella was asked an open-ended question about this season, and here's where he took it.
Can you count this season as a net positive?
Yeah, and we're going to have end of the year, right? I'm not going to go chapter verse with you guys right now, right after the game. So a lot of the questions you should just probably wait in the next couple of days. I'm proud of the team. They fought to the end.
All right, Rhea, I need a ruling here. He
yes.
was asked if it's a net positive. There was some good. That was really good in that they played much better than expected. There was some bad that was really,
the nine
really
game
bad.
Losing streak is just
eight.
I mean, I'm sorry, eight.
All right, Rhea,
it felt like 100.
Was it was it an accurate answer by John Tortorella? Was it a net positive season?
I felt that way before the losing
of
streak.
Of course.
You know, that I thought, but I didn't like the Couturier thing still bothers
Correct.
Me.
Correct.
I mean, that's you. You name him the captain. I don't know how – it's like you're in love with someone, and then 2 days later you're like, yeah, let me sign the divorce papers.
I got two major issues, the Couturier benching and trading players at the trade deadline.
The trading doesn't bother me because they basically told us they were going to do
they
that.
They know. They announced
they,
it.
They
give them credit
no
for
bones
that.
About that. So
that's right.
I don't have an issue with that, but – how you lost those games, those eight games in a row, the 9-3 loss.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, so that that bothered me.
All right, let's get to today's Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let Armin Chevy be your electric vehicle dealer. Arriving shortly, the all-new Ultium-powered Chevrolet Blazer EV. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Poll questions. The first, did the Flyers make a mistake being a seller instead of a buyer at this year's trade deadline? Or just holding pat? I mean, we got buyer. They didn't have to buy. It could have just not sold. Yes or no? Second question, who wins tonight? Sixers or the Heat? All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Eric in Mount Laurel. We also had a great, great, great performance by Ranger last night. Good morning, Eric.
Absolutely. Good morning. It was absolutely fantastic. You want to talk about cools the other side of the pillow? That's Ranger.
Yeah.
Jumping on something what everyone was talking about before about Howie and Hassan Reddick. The prickliness that Howie is giving seems like he's saying, hey, guys, do you think I'm stupid? We had to get rid of him because it was an internal problem. Something was going on.
Hold on, Eric, first thing, get out of the echo chamber you're in. It's not like you're in a hallway or something. So we don't know that that's what Howie's saying, that it's an internal problem. It might just be as simple as Hassan Reddick wanted to make X. The Eagles were offering X minus $15 million, they didn't agree on terms, and that's all it is. Like, that's the thing. We don't know if this was just a financial evaluation of a player's future or if this was, as you called it, a, quote, internal problem. We don't know. And the fact that...
It could be as simple as he's about to turn 30.
Well, that's the financial. Yeah, that's financial.
Like, we won't pay him more than the $15 million he's due because he's about to be 30. So, see ya. We're going to take a hard stance.
But you know my theory. If it's that simple, John, then why not have him play out the final year of his deal? Like, the Phillies just had Aaron Nola in 2023 in the final year of his deal. They didn't trade him.
Because he wanted more. He wanted...
But he did not agree to terms. You know they negotiated before 2023. Yeah. They did not agree to terms. They didn't just say, okay, we'll trade you.
I guess therein lies the win-win. Like, for Hassan, he gets his win.
Well, of course that's what Howie's referring to.
Howie gets the win of the haul and trade and Huff and everything else.
But what do I care as an Eagles fan or if I'm Howie Roseman about Hassan
so
Reddick's
there's
freaking
one, win? One thing. If Harry Roseman, I don't think
what,
Eagles
make players
fans.
Happy.
Yeah, agents, player. I'm with you, Joe. For me, it doesn't do anything. But I'm if we're trying to figure out why Howie's saying it, it probably has a lot to do with relationships. There's a reason Howie knows who's going to get drafted where or what players want or whatever that stuff. I'm with you. It doesn't fly for me, but it is important and it could be a potential explanation.
Well, Bryce Huff better be really good.
You're damn right, buddy.
All right, Eric. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Meg.
All right, and Sixers win tonight. No problem, and I got a foursome for you.
Yes, sir. Go for it.
It's Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer.
Yeah, it's another great group here. You know, we're getting a lot. We could get 100 answers on this question. A lot of good answers here. Speaking of answers, let's get to Rob Thompson because he was asked about Ranger after the game. You know, last caller saying Cool's the other side of the pillow. By the way, ESPN announced they're coming out with a 30 for 30 on Stuart Scott. That should be really, really good. Let's listen to Rob Thompson because Ranger is cool and Rob Thompson knows he's cool. And Rob Thompson talked about it last night.
When I say stress free, like, I'm not sure if Ranger's ever had any stress in his life. So, he's really something. Right? He's just got ice in his veins. He really does. He's phenomenal that way.
I mean, he really, more than almost any athlete I've just about ever seen in Philadelphia sports, is unflappable. Jalen seems to have some unflappability, but then you wonder when it didn't go well, like, what's going on? Jalen has an unflappable thing, but then he stunk. So,
Ranger's gone through some rough patches too. I mean, this really is the best Ranger we've ever seen.
This is the best Ranger.
Man, just outstanding.
Pitching deep
Everything
in games.
Was around the edges last night. Yeah. It was just so, like, it went exactly where he wanted it to go, and it was for the entire game.
He's a really quality pitcher.
I've never seen anything like that. Like, that degree of perfection and accuracy for the entire game.
From him, you're saying?
Yeah. It's just like we've ever seen
him
pitch.
He did one before, so I assume it was similar. He had a shutout once before. I don't remember it, but I imagine it was probably similar. Zero is, you know, zero.
It's about as good as it gets.
Let's get to Tom in Middletown. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great, Tom.
Good morning, morning crew. This is the first time I had a chance to call you guys since you got the new show, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Used to call you guys all the time on the old slot.
I remember.
Now, my schedule's changed. I'm going to be calling you a lot in the morning.
Awesome. We look forward to that, buddy.
Now, listen, I want to just make a comment to Howie, with the win-win. You guys just touched on it a few seconds ago. The win-win is win for Reddick and win for the Eagles. It has nothing to do with the Jets. Back in the day when Buddy Ryan traded a Hall of Fame guy that all he does is catch touchdowns, we knew his personal reasons why he did it.
I don't know. I don't believe in the moment we knew. We found out out years later.
And that was because Chris Carter went public with
it. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Because I think there is – and I'm not saying Reddick has any problems like that. But before Howie made that win-win comment, he had nothing but praise for Reddick. He was saying great things about him. But I think they were just not going to pay him what he wants. And yes, we could have brought him back for 1 year and used him. But maybe the new defensive coordinator doesn't think he's going to fit into his scheme or whatever. So it's a win-win-win for Reddick. He's out of here. He gets his money, and the Eagles got compensation for him.
Well,
and there was no big.
Listen, I like Tom. I like Hassan Reddick. I think he's a good dude, and we know he's a great player. I'm not trying to sound callous when I say this. I just don't care as an Eagles fan about the win for him. I mean, I shouldn't say I don't care. I care like 15% for him. You know, like I'm happy for him, especially a local guy getting paid.
Just don't care enough to make you happy about the move.
Correct.
Yeah. It's not a win for you.
Exactly. Like put it this way. Nick Sirianni talked somewhat extensively yesterday, and I thought it was really cool about how personally happy he is for Devontae Smith to get paid that money. It's life altering money. And I feel that as someone who does not know Devontae Smith, as an Eagles fan, who cares about Devontae Smith the way a fan cares about a player? Like, I, too, am happy for Devontae Smith that he gets generational wealth now, and it'll change the whole rest of his life. That's great for him. But I also know this. If instead of $70 million, he got $270 million, I'd be in a bad mood as an Eagles fan because that'd be bad for the Eagles' salary cap. In the end, what matters most is it good for my football team? And I just will always contend. Now, look, I could be proven wrong. We'll see. But I will contend the trade of Hassan Reddick was a bad trade. We'll find out.
Yes, and as fans, we look at it as a fan's perspective. Yes, I agree. But these guys, the ownership, the management, the players, they have different relationships and different knowledge of what's going on with what and what. So I think there's something underlying that happened there to just let a guy like that go. So, I'm just reading between the lines on that. And I got a good foursome for you.
Let me hear it.
All right. These guys may have originated the rock star lifestyle. The Rat Pack.
Oh, okay. So give me the four specifically. Sinatra, Sammy Davis.
Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Fisher.
Who's Fisher?
I don't know. He's like the oddball. Like I have no idea what Fisher even did.
All right. It's a shame Fisher's Fisher.
It's not Fisher. It's Joey Bishop, it looks like.
All right. So poor presentation.
That's a major error right there.
Yeah, let me double check.
That's a goof.
No, you're right, James. That's
yeah,
the original.
Yeah, I thought so. Joey Bishop. Yeah.
What about Peter Lawford? And weren't there a bunch of people?
There was a bunch of people in and out of it, I think, but they were the original four.
Oh.
I think of it as a threesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know? I don't know, James. I mean, it's just...
No, it counts if it was part of the original Rat Pack, but when you think of the Rat Pack, you think of those three.
Well, but the person that's 75 years old probably knows the older person.
Sure. Well, if Tom didn't, he called him Fisher. What do you want me to do here?
Fisher.
I think there might be five.
There might be.
I think there's five in the Rat Pack.
It was the main three with right. Sinatra.
Yeah,
Dean
it
Martin,
said then Joey
Sammy
Bishop
Davis.
Fell out with Sinatra in 62. Peter Lawford, among others, came in after that.
Right, so either way, there were not four.
No, there was either three or five.
All right, let's go up. Let's go up two generations later.
Yes.
How many of the Brat Pack can we name? So you got Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Yep. Judd
Emilio
Nelson.
Estevez.
Emilio Estevez.
Estevez is
Charlie.
Is Sheen in it?
Yeah.
I think so.
He was. Who else is in the Brat Pack?
What are we talking about?
The Brat Pack.
Robert Downey Jr. Yes!
No, I don't think Robert Downey Jr. So, Devin,
no,
this was
think
something
was.
In the
really?
80s. Like, St. Elmo's Fire came out. It's a lot of those actors and actresses.
Judd.
Okay. Judd Nelson,
yeah, I said
for
Judd
sure.
Nelson. That was the first, yeah.
Judd Nelson for sure. I
Judge?
Think
Reinhold?
Judd, J-U-D-D.
What about Judge Reinhold?
I don't think Judge
so.
Reinhold no. was part of it.
Who was the girl?
He was borderline.
Demi Moore,
though.
Wasn't
we,
was it?
Yeah, she's
oh,
in it.
Sure,
yeah, she's in St. Elmo's Fire, but she wasn't part of the Brat Pack.
I think she is.
I think she's in there.
And who's the girl in St. Elmo's Fire who's with both guys in that movie? And then
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
No, well, no, the girl, the brunette.
Ally Sheedy?
Yes. A thousand percent.
Well, she's in Breakfast Club, too.
I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Ally Sheedy.
She was attractive in a
in
different
Breakfast
sort
Club?
Of way.
In a different kind of way.
Yeah.
Breakfast Club, you liked Ally Sheedy?
No.
Oh, I loved her there.
Well, maybe, but I don't like that movie. In St. Elmo's, man. She does the switcheroo.
And then, I thought I was going to get you to concede to Breakfast Club being.
Nah,
so I have the list. Ally Sheedy is in it. Would you like the official list of the Brat Pack?
I love how you act like the internet is official.
All right, well, what is, according to Wikipedia, So Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, forgot. Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, who was in Mannequin.
Him.
You love Mannequin.
Yep.
Demi Moore was in it. Nice call. Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, we forgot,
Molly.
And then Ally Sheedy.
Can I tell you what I did, like me and a couple of my girlfriends when we were teenagers and they were filming the movie Mannequin in Philadelphia? We drove by the movie trailers and were screaming if he would go to prom with us.
Oh, that's a little inside 80s joke right
little
there.
Little inside 80s, yes.
All right, let's
go
to the phones. Let's get to Brian in Lancaster. Brian, good morning, buddy.
Hey, how are you guys? It's good to talk to you.
Doing great, Brian.
Hey, it's first time caller. I was to this morning show anyway. I just wanted to say I heard a lot of stuff about the Flyers, and I agree with a lot of it. But, you know, it was actually refreshing to see them play some good hockey this year.
It was the first time
in a long time. So I think the future hopefully is bright.
But let me ask you this, Brian. This rebuild thing, which obviously it has to now be clearly termed.
They're clearly committed to it.
Is it acceptable for them to miss the playoffs again next year?
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
No. So I just want to make sure, like, we understand the parameters here. You come close this year. You sell at the trade deadline. I don't need another season next year without the playoffs. And by the way, Brian, there's a whole nother argument that I haven't even gone to today, but I just want to put this out there also. In all due respect, and they do deserve respect, Tortorella, Jonesy, and Briere with the new group, obviously Torts for 2 years, Briere like a year and a half, and Jonesy for a year. But then there's the Comcast side of things that drove this thing so freaking in the ground for a decade that's why the last, like, 5 years have been so bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't just forget about that stuff. I mean, it's not like, you know, this went from BC to AD, and it's like, okay, just 1, 2, 3. Like, there's all the other years. Anyway, yeah. I just wanted to get that off my chest because they have sunk so far backwards from where they were for the first, you know, roughly 50 years of their existence, and it's very aggravating.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. But I had a Fab Four for you guys also.
All right, Brian, give me an answer here for a – what do you got for a group of four?
I don't know if they're the original Fab Four, but I'm going with the Beatles.
Has already been said. Give me another one.
How about the Four Horsemen?
That's a good answer.
Ooh. That is a good answer.
That's a really good answer. By the way, it doesn't have – just to be clear, I said a foursome. I shouldn't have said that. You got to give us a four. Like, let me give you a four. And it's very apropos for the 76ers starting the playoffs tonight. Ready for a foursome?
I think I know what it is. Oh, it's a
foe.
Oh, foe. I thought you were going to go, how many times are we going to pass the ball?
Oh, that's
four.
Yeah, that's Gene Hackman right there.
Moses.
Foe.
That would have been a great answer.
Yeah, but I think foe's a better answer.
The Gene Hackman.
Foe.
Foe is better. Today, yeah. Today.
Could have been a winner, actually.
Could have been a winner.
I might have voted for that.
Could have won.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe's answer could have won.
It was foe.
Yeah, Gene Hackman wasn't winning. That could have won.
Yeah, but Moses Malone, man. Come on. All right, coming up in 1 minute's time, you know, we still never really got an answer from the 76ers on why exactly Jimmy Butler's not a Sixer. The closest thing we ever got to an answer is we get ready for the Sixers and Heat tonight, Joel and Jimmy competing against each other. The closest we ever really came to answers was from an author, what Yuron Weitzman put out a number of years ago about what the hell happened between Jimmy Butler and the 76ers 5 years ago. Those details, we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute. 1 minute, the inside scoop, according to Weitzman, of what really occurred. Hey, Joe DeCamera here. Obviously, baseball season's upon us, and so too is great driving weather. And with United Tire, you can drive your car, drive it comfortably, and drive it for a long time, as long as you get it serviced well and make sure you get that done, of course, at United Tire. Schedule an appointment today at United Tire. By the way, United Tire and service. So sure, they often go by United Tire. You can get all the tires you want, but you can get all the service you want there as well. From oil changes to state inspections and everything in between, the highly skilled technicians at United Tire are happy to work around your schedule no matter the make or no matter the model. Let United Tire help get you in gear and get your car in gear for the spring season. Get your car to United Tire, your locally owned United Tire. There are so many throughout the Delaware Valley, 10 different United Tires. Visit this website, UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com to find the location nearest you. UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. All right, on this Wednesday morning, big game tonight. Jimmy Butler. Matter of fact, I want to hear from Jimmy Butler. I kind of don't, but I think it's apropos we hear from him. He is just he's the playoff assassin. This guy, I have such admiration for Jimmy Butler. And I think a lot of people remember the story. You know, he was as a teenager, I believe it was at the age of 15, he was homeless. So he had to really grow up early and young. And unlike Ben Simmons, I am convinced that it made him a better player to go through the crucible of that at such an early age. Some people, it'll break them. Some people, it can help make them. And Jimmy Butler is certainly an incredibly admirable figure in so many ways, including the competitive. I mean, John, this guy's competitive fire. You would have loved to play with him, man.
Well, just imagine the way he looks at Ben Simmons, a guy
that's
who
right
doesn't
entitled
really
that's right
even care about competing.
That's right.
Like, doesn't love the game being out there. Jimmy Butler would go out there and play and compete and win under any circumstance.
And what a shame that Jimmy Butler's. I mean, first, let's put it this way: if Jimmy Butler was on the Sixers wouldn't be playing in the play-in game tonight.
Sixers would probably have a championship if Jimmy Butler had been here this whole time. In all honesty, the way the league has played out, they would have a really good chance to have had one.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I'll say really
Jimmy
good
Jimmy got
chance
to the finals multiple times without them.
But with Joel's knee have fallen off.
You never know. But
we'll
I mean, with
know
Jimmy, they could
have
won anyway.
Them as much
oh, listen.
If they still had Jimmy.
They certainly would have been to a conference final.
For sure.
There's no question
at
about
the least,
that.
At
the least. All right. So what happened? Yuron Weitzman, who a number of years ago wrote a book on the 76ers.
Great book, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Provided some details on what the heck happened. The Sixers have never gone on the record. I mean, Brett Brown never talked extensively. Josh Harris, I think this might have been, I don't know if this was Colangelo or Elton or freaking, I don't know who this was, all right? Someone's in charge at that point.
Wasn't Brett
I believe
in
it was
charge?
Elton and Brett.
I think it was Elton
and
Brett.
Brett.
Yeah. All right. So they lose to Toronto. A lot of people are saying, let's run it back. They don't run it back. They, of course, as we know, sign Al Horford. They sign Tobias Harris, and that was their move. They could have
they
just
trade
be,
Jimmy.
Just they do technically trade Jimmy. Now, just to be clear, they could have had Jimmy and Tobias. They could have had Jimmy and Horford. They could have had Jimmy and let's try to go get somebody. I mean, there's a lot of things they could have done. We know what they did. All right,
but he seems to think it was
who's he?
Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm. Tobias, yeah.
He seems to think it was Tobias that they picked instead of him.
But
because
they also
walking into the locker room, he was saying,
correct,
you picked him instead of me.
Right. And they also sort of picked Ben Simmons instead of him because it was like, who's going to be ball handler guy? All right.
Yeah.
Here's the reporting from Yuron Weitzman a number of years ago, a series of tweets he put out, and this just sort of gets to the heart of the matter from his perspective reporting. Here we go. He wrote, and this was back in, I don't know, way back, a couple years ago. Yeah, here's what he wrote. Since why did the Sixers let Jimmy Butler go is a big topic today, I figured I'd do a thread on what I've put together through the years. And here he cranks it up. He goes, first off, as Embiid basically said earlier this year, Simmons was not happy being put off the ball during the 2019 playoffs against the Raptors. Because of this, Sixers management was worried how Simmons would handle and react to having Butler around and monopolizing crunch time playmaking duties for multiple years. Simmons never said me or Butler, but the Sixers were worried that it could one day reach that point. In terms of Brett Brown, it's true that he and Jimmy Butler did not get along. But my understanding is that in the end, Brown made it clear to the front office that he'd be okay with bringing Butler back. That said, the front office recognized that if Butler was brought back, it meant they'd probably have to get rid of Brown at some point in the middle of the season. Al Horford is an important part of this convo. I know Butler called out Tobias Harris's contract yesterday, but I think that's unfair. It's really Horford who the Sixers chose over Butler. The Sixers believed Embiid would miss at least 20 games per season, meaning they need a fill-in at center, and they felt Horford could do a good job defending Giannis in the playoffs. In terms of Embiid, he said multiple times that letting Butler go was a mistake, but my understanding is that at the time, he was not insisting the team bring Butler back. This wasn't an example of him demanding something and the front office ignoring it. Upon being told by the Sixers that they didn't want to pay Butler, apparently Butler's agent Bernie Lee went on a rant to Josh Harris and told him that he was making a huge mistake. Lee told Harris he was breaking up a championship team, that he was putting Simmons in a position to fail, and that he'd end up having to trade him, and that he was wasting years of Joel Embiid's prime.
Prophetic.
How about that?
Is that unbelievable?
Kind of nailed it.
I mean, kind of.
That's a good agent.
Yeah, the agent's on it. You know what's one of the most irritating parts of this, if it's true? And again, that was Yuron Weitzman's reporting a couple years ago on what happened with Jimmy and the Sixers in 2019 after they lost to Toronto. If Joel didn't speak up, that would really irritate me. Like, if Joel didn't say, now look, on one hand, you don't want the player to demand everything because he's just a player. He's not the owner. He's not the general manager. He's not the head coach. But, you know, in the maturity of Joel Embiid in his career, and I think he has matured. I mean, his social media activity is so much different than it used to be.
Oh, yeah. After wasn't he liking tweets about Jimmy Butler?
Well, that was a disaster. Yeah, but like in 2019, if he did not voice clearly to the Sixers, hey, this is the guy we need. I need this guy. Like, I need Joel to know I need this guy. Now, maybe 5 years ago, he was 5 years younger and didn't feel confident with that. Maybe in the offseason, he was distracted and just tended to do whatever, and he was wasting time tweeting. Like, I don't know. But what this says from Yuron Weitzman is Joel never went to the Sixers and said, yeah, this is the guy I need.
Well, I think,
and
it's
if that's
also
the case, he's got to own that. You know? Like,
I think,
and then
you got to remember.
Don't give me the tweet saying, oh, should have this guy. If you didn't, in the
how
moment.
How old was Joel at that point?
Old enough.
5 years ago.
Old enough.
5 years ago, if he's 23 years old. I think that is a very difficult spot that you're expecting him to have, like,
But it's what star players are supposed to do. They're supposed to do.
Look, the front office doesn't know the right move.
They screwed up.
It's a tough spot to be in if you're Joel Embiid. Remember, he and Ben Simmons were supposed to be like peas and carrots. Like,
well, I don't think they
were
ever
supposed
killed
to
each
be
other.
But
like
they
the
weren't.
Two guys that team was formed around, and they were going to sit with that come hell or high water. They were going to be the guys that built it and took us to the promised land. They were supposed to be like a team.
Yeah, but
like
I don't
a
think those
unit.
Two ever cared for each other. And I think people in the inside and somebody like Joel,
I agree,
knew
I agree
all
he was
about Ben Simmons.
To.
Yeah, but
but supposed to is out the window. Once you experience
once you know
700 days with somebody,
you understand what I'm saying. Joel is being told, hey, here's Ben Simmons. You guys are together on this. You have to be supportive of your teammate that you are taking this Sixers team to the promised land together.
Well,
I do think he was put in a tough spot. You're saying he needs to pipe up and say, hey, get rid of Ben Simmons. There's a lot more that goes into it than that.
Well, I will say this. No matter how you slice and dice it, it was a missed managed situation by 76ers management.
No question.
It was mismanaged.
Well,
you just get some people in a room, break some bread, and you figure out a way. I mean, that's what the great CEOs do. And then listen, sometimes the great CEOs have to make a hard call. Like, I'm going Leno over Letterman, or I'm going Letterman over Leno. Like, the guy at NBC had to make that call. He made a choice. By the way, in the end, Leno had better ratings than Letterman. It's actually true, even though he got lambasted for the decision. Sometimes you got to make a tough call. The bottom line is they made a call and they picked wrong.
And
they chose Ben Simmons as a playmaker.
They did.
And they chose whatever combination of Horford and Tobias as a max player contract over Jimmy Butler. They were just wrong. They were just wrong.
And Ben Simmons, by the way, the Nets have to sit there and figure out what they're going to do with Ben Simmons,
a guy who refuses to play.
He will never change. That is the truth about him. Joel, at that point in time, when he's being asked to make that decision, he didn't know all of those details yet.
He knew more than we did.
That's true. You're right.
If he didn't say something, he should have.